And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. As you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Paul's letter to the Philippians, the fourth chapter. And hear the word of God as it comes to us in fulfillment, beginning with the sixth verse in the fourth chapter. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. A long time ago, when I was a young pastor, I learned the wisdom of avoiding certain topics that would in no way enable me to be a part of keeping the peace within the church. It was, in many ways, just a natural corollary to that saying that you learned at some point along life's way that in everyday conversation, you can pretty much feel the freedom to talk about anything you choose except two things. If you want to keep the peace, if you want to avoid conflict, then you need to avoid speaking with other people about politics, and you don't need to talk with other people about religion. Quite honestly, it took me a while to understand the wisdom of that saying, even as it pertained to my own sense of ministry, because what in this world does not contain some measure of political consequences, certainly when we think about our faith, there is so much about what it means to seek to be an obedient people that has political implications. And on the other hand, my soul, religion is what I do in terms of how I answer God's call upon my life. I never understood why it should be that I would avoid speaking on any of those areas if I wanted to maintain the peace. And yet, as the years went by, I could see many of my colleagues in ministry who were at times overtly political in their preaching and in their teaching and in terms of how politics and religion meshed. It landed them in hot water and on some occasions caused them to lose their pulpits and their places of ministry. And so I came to discover that even if I didn't understand it, I would be wise to practice it. And so I came to a place in my own life, in my own sense of calling, that I realized that there are some things in life that not only are better left unsaid, there are some things in life that are also better left misunderstood. That seems to have been the Apostle Paul's own philosophy in terms of how he endeavored to keep congregations together as one body. We see this in Paul's letter to the Philippians, Paul is writing this letter from prison, and a part of how Paul came to this own epiphany, this sense of revelation about some things being better left unsaid, misunderstood. Paul had landed in prison because of how he had offended political sensibilities as well as religious sensibilities in the Roman world. And so now he's in a Roman prison. Word reaches him that there is discord and conflict in the church at Philippi, which is a very strategic city situated in the northern part of Greece. Paul had established the church there in response to what the book of Acts tells us was his Macedonian vision. And so now, as word has reached Paul that there are two women in the church who are creating controversy, Euodia and Syntyche, Paul writes this letter to urge the two women as well as the entire church to rise above their differences in order that they might experience what he calls the peace of God that transcends all understanding, in many ways incomprehensible. So how does Paul suggest that the church begin to move in that direction? You'll notice that he tells them they need to be praying. Be anxious for nothing, he says. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, you present with thanksgiving your request to God, and as a part of going through that practice of the faith together, something happens in your midst and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds, keeping them safe through your faith in Christ Jesus. Surely we've all come to a place in our faith journey where we have recognized how prayer is the means by which we retain our sense of balance in an anxious and uncertain world. And yet, how many times has it been the case that we have neglected this foundational practice? And as a result, seen ourselves in places where we have been not just anxious and uncertain about the future, but paralyzed because of what we are experiencing in a given moment, something that we see no release from. Might it be that part of the challenge that we face in terms of moving beyond our anxieties and our uncertainties is the recognition that in prayer, not only are we to present requests to God, we are in the process to present ourselves to God. A good part of what Paul is encouraging the church to be about in this very important teaching is not just to see prayer as an opportunity for us to take a laundry list of petitions and requests to God. Yes, Paul says, we need to cast our cares upon God because God cares for us. But as we do so, what Paul is encouraging is an openness on our part so that we invite God to move in our lives in such a way that the presence of God settles our anxieties and answers our concerns. And we begin to understand that even the things that are beyond us, that we cannot wrap our minds around. God has them under His control. I remember learning something about prayer that has always been of help to me, particularly in those seasons of life where I have found myself anxious and uncertain about what lies ahead. It was a saying that goes, while prayer may not change things for us, there is something about prayer that changes us for things. Perhaps that might be of help to you, even at a time like this where you find yourself in an anxious, unsettled, and uncertain place. You wonder, well, I've prayed to God. I've brought my request to God for God to change this situation, and nothing about my situation has changed. Might it be that as you have brought your concerns to God, if along the way you were also to have brought yourself and to have bared your soul to God in the process, while God may not yet have changed things in your life, God has changed you for those things, may be the possibility for which you need to be most prayerful. God, change me for what I'm going through in this life. When we pray like that, what Paul is inviting us to see, as we invite God into our lives, as God has made Himself known in His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we experience this holy presence. We experience this overshadowing. We recognize that we are not alone in the face of whatever threats and challenges have come our way. We acknowledge the presence of Jesus, and what Paul says is that we see that Jesus is with us to stand guard. It's a military expression. It means to garrison us. There is a sense in which Jesus is present to guard our hearts and our minds so that we recognize that there is a grace that is available to us. We don't understand it. We don't need to understand it. But what we do need to show is a sense of gratitude for how God is with us every step of the way, how the presence of Jesus guards our hearts and our minds. For that, we need to be most grateful. That's why Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayers and petitions and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And it's then, when you have that grateful heart, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is there, the presence of Jesus to guard your hearts and your minds. Every time I read this passage of Scripture and I hear Paul emphasizing, underscoring the priority of thanksgiving in our prayers, I'm reminded of what Anne Lamott once said about her own prayer journey. When she says her life has really come down to two basic prayers. In the morning, she gets up, she prays, God, help me, help me, help me, as she realizes that there is so much in her life that is uncertain, out of her control. She prays, God, help me. And then at the end of the day, as she reflects upon how that presence, that overshadowing presence of God has in fact done in her life what she never could have done. She ends the day by praying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And she says, even though I can't explain, I can't unpack, I can't even comprehend how it is that God has worked in my life in these incredible ways, I just know that He has. And just knowing that God has and that God will continue to do that, knowing that God has His hand upon my life, for me, that's enough. Sometimes what gives me pause in my own life is how, when I am at my most anxious, when uncertainty has its grip upon me, it's because I feel so out of control. I think sometimes that every time I worry about something, it's because I have come to the realization that the thing about which I am so worried is something that I realize is out of my control and I want to panic. And then I am reminded that when I pray, I am relinquishing control and inviting God to take charge. And it is in those moments that God's grace proves again and again and again and again to be sufficient for my every need. And I come to the realization, I understand a bit more, not as much as I would like to know, that God is capable of doing all things in my life. So that if I simply allow God to be in charge of everything that I am about, God will do so, and I will in the process accomplish so much more for God than I ever thought possible. As you think about your life this morning and the challenges that you may be facing and the threats that keep you awake at night, so many of the things in your life that are beyond your control, what difference might it make in your life, in your experience, if in your prayers you invited God into those circumstances and situations? How much more might His grace be at work in your life so that you then could accomplish more than you ever thought possible? Harold Koenig is a professor of psychiatry at the Duke Medical School. Some years ago, Duke embarked on a series of studies on what they called the healing power of faith, and a book came out of that, The Healing Power of Faith. Koenig was the primary author of that work, and in the book he unpacks the findings of the researchers at the Duke Medical School. Why is it? Why is it, they ask, that people who are people of faith seem to be so much better at handling anxieties and uncertainties? And I was privileged to be able to hear Dr. Koenig lecture on those findings. And in the lecture, he spoke about how You know, faith does so much to put us in a position to be able to confront challenges in a way that people who are not folk of faith will never be able to do, because they're trying to face them in their own power. People of faith have given up on that a long time ago. They trust those challenges to God. And so they're able to live without being chained to their past. They're able to rise above resentments that other people tend to harbor. They do not wallow in self-pity when life hands them a raw deal. Life hands everybody a raw deal at one time or another, but people of faith are able to move past that, and all of their findings, all of them are based on a conviction by people of faith that they have entrusted themselves to a power that is beyond them. They have come to the recognition that there is so much in life they cannot understand, and what they cannot understand, they entrust to God. And as a result, they experience this sense of peace and wholeness and well-being, because God is in control. You read later in the fourth chapter of Philippians, and as Paul continues to encourage the church at Philippi to stay together and to hold together and to pray for and with one another, and specifically as he implores these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, to come together for the sake of the church. As he talks about prayer and the importance of presenting ourselves to God in the course of presenting our petitions and requests. 13th verse that you know so well, Paul, in his own experience, bears witness to how he has come to understand, even though he can't unpack every aspect of it, he has come to celebrate and to be grateful for the fact that I can do all things through him who gives me strength. If you're a person of faith, you can do all things through him who gives you strength, through Jesus. How that works is a matter of faith. It's beyond our ability to comprehend. Some things in life, a lot in faith, we will never understand. And by accepting that, in the process, we give up all desire to be in control. And we experience this overwhelming peace, the peace of Jesus that guards our hearts and our minds, so that in the face of every challenge and every threat, all that we need to know is that our life is in the hands of God. And if we know just that, then we will experience God's full and perfect peace. Let's bow for a word of prayer. God, many of us have come together this day because we feel so much in life being out of control, and that troubles us. What must we do? What can we do? Your word is very clear. Pray. You call us to pray. And in the course of our prayers, to offer and open ourselves to you that Jesus might enter in and guard our hearts and our minds. We pray for the healing power of our faith in Christ to do in us what only Jesus can do, so that we can go forward into the future with the confidence that all will be well because of Christ, in whose name we do pray. Amen.